You are watching Game Time Decisions. I am Gabriel Morenzi. Welcome to the program that puts his money where his fantasies are on the Fantasy Sports Network. Let's do this thing. We've got a big football game on the board tonight. America's team kicks off laying 3 points. It seems like a lot of the sharps and the so-called hipsters are riding the Minnesota Vikings this evening. The Vikings will have to get it done without their head coach, Mike Zimmer, for the most part. Unless this guy's like Arnold Schwarzenegger in a Terminator or something like that. He's got like a detached retina. And I'd probably be, detaching my own retinas if I had to watch that putrid offense every week as well. I don't see why everyone loves the Vikings as much as they do. We'll find out. We'll ask Teddy Covers, one of the sharps himself. We'll join us straight from the Strip in Las Vegas, Nevada. Paul Bovey will join us. Entrepreneur Paul Bovey. VegasInsider.com's Paul Bovey. Paul joins us from different locations, and they're always like ultra cool locations. Paul either joins us from New York City, either joins us from Malibu, California, or he joins us from Las Vegas, Nevada. Today, I think he's joining us from Florida. He's got some business interests, evidently, which I'm guessing he's at Gulfstream. He's betting the ponies. That's his business interest. So Paul Bovey's going to join us. Of course, Paul caps. He caps everything, but he's an NFL and an NBA guy. And that's good news because we've got a big NFL game. We've got a couple of big NBA games tonight. Got the Clippers and the Cavaliers on the board. And don't look now, man, but the Golden State Warriors are basically winning every night. And they're racking up 117 points a game. They got a Houston Rocket team that's played pretty good basketball so far this year, too, under their new head coach. They've been moving the ball, man. D'Antoni's offense, a perfect fit for the Rockets. The Rocket players want to push the ball. The coach wants to push the ball. Everybody freaking wins, including you. If you stick around for our plays of the day, I think we're going to have a big night tonight. We've been doing really well on the hardwood. Great college picks last night. Tonight, we'll give you a couple NBA picks. And, of course, we've got our infamous props for tonight as well. So, of course, the college football championship weekend is rapidly approaching. Week 13 of the National Football League set to kick off with the Dallas Cowboys and the Minnesota Vikings. It's getting real on the gridiron across the board right now. So maybe, just maybe, as you're arguing at the sports bar with your buddies about who should be in the college football playoffs or who's going to win the Super Bowl, you didn't notice that Major League Baseball averted a work stoppage in the 11th hour. Oh, boo freaking who? Because I know everyone would be sitting around the holiday dinner table talking about how sorry they feel for Bryce Harper and company. Hard to have a labor stoppage when everyone knows you guys want $500 million contracts right now. Now, labor stoppages, I can't help but think of 1994. And as a Montrealer and as a Montreal Expo fan, that was our year, man. That was the freaking year. The Montreal Expos were dominant, all right? Now, most Expo fans will tell you, oh, they were going to win the World Series. We don't know if they were going to win the World Series, all right? We do know they were going to make the damn playoffs. We do know that they were most likely going to win the National League. And, you know, the fact is they were actually better than the Yankees at the time. But we can't get ahead of ourselves and say they were going to win the World Series. But the fact of the matter is, if that stoppage never happens and the Expos even go to a World Series, everything changes, man. You know, that one championship, can change a lot of dynamics for a franchise for their future. Yet the Montreal Expos were denied that opportunity, one of the best regular season teams ever. But I digress. So, of course, you had the labor stoppage. There was no freaking World Series under Bud Selig's watch. Now, Bud Selig would be remembered for a lot of things. Being a smart man is not one of them. But I just found out that 4.7 billion people have downloaded Drake songs, or I guess I should say Drake songs have been downloaded 4.7 billion times. So that's 4.7 billion times that somebody's done something stupid in the world. So, you know, Bud Selig, he's only done like, what, 12 things stupid? So one of the things that Bud Selig did that was pretty stupid, though, of course, was give home field advantage in the World Series to the winner of the All-Star game. And in a new collective bargaining agreement, it's a bunch of crap that average fans don't give a crap about. One thing is, instead of shortening the season, they're actually going to extend the season. They're not going to play more than 162 games, but they're going to add four games onto the season so they get more rest along the way. As somebody that hosted a Major League Baseball post-game show, I was only freaking talking, man, and I was beaten down. A baseball season is a grind, man. It was like 162 shows in like 180 days. It's a grind, you know, but they should think about shortening the damn season. But something that they did do of interest is the World Series home field advantage will now be decided by whoever has the best record. What the hell are you talking about? Nobody does it anything like that simple anymore, do they? Evidently, baseball's going to correct the wrong. And we've seen, man, numerous freaking times the World Series has gone to seven games. All right? So it's actually coming to play. It didn't come into play this year because the Cubs won anyways, even though the Indians ended up with home field advantage. And now it's amazing because, you know, before people didn't like it, and now I see already people don't like it. They're like, well, now the Major League Baseball game doesn't mean anything. Yeah, whatever. You guys bitch no matter what. The fact of the matter is the Major League Baseball All-Star game by far is the best All-Star game of all the major professional sports. They don't call it the Midsummer Classic for nothing. They were calling it the Midsummer Classic a hell of a long, long before Bud Selig and that dead raccoon on top of his head that he called a toupee came along and made it the way that it was. So they correct the wrong. People are going to cry right now. Oh, now what is the All-Star game actually mean? But the bottom line is, man, the stupid home run derby is actually more popular than the All-Star game. It's like the slam dunk contest right now. People have short attention spans, man. 9 innings is too long. They can understand home runs. And it makes me think of the time on The Simpsons when Bart Simpson was paranoid and thought the Major League Baseball was spying on him. Well, you're not paranoid if you're right. They were spying on him. And of course, as Mark McGwire stated at the end of the episode, you know, would you rather, you want me to tell you why the government is spying on you all, or you want to see me hit some dingers? Dingers! Game Time Decisions continues. Game Time Decisions. We are live on the Fantasy Sports Network. I am Gabriel Morenci. We got a great show. As I mentioned off the top of the program, Paul Bovey is going to join us, I believe, from Florida in a couple of minutes. Kurt Schilling was supposed to join us yesterday. And, of course, you know that he didn't. But what do we predict? We said, I bet you the Kurt Schilling like calls with a couple of minutes left in the show. That's exactly what happened. Kurt Schilling checked in at about 2:57 yesterday. We were ending the show at 2:58, and he said, my bad, I'm in for tomorrow, same time, 2:25. But he is a baseball player, so we're going to give him three strikes. If he screws us again today, if there's a problem today, we'll forgive, and you know, then we'll go for strike three. And then if not, then we're all out. That's the way that works. But it doesn't matter, man, because we got the star of the show right now, batting leadoff, Ted Safransky, a.k.a. Teddy Covers from Ted's Sportsbook and Casino. Way off the strip in Las Vegas, Nevada. What's up, Teddy?
How are you, Gabe? Nice to see you, my friend.
So, Teddy, I'm either thinking you're coming from that big rave that's every year in Vegas out at the racetrack, or it's really freaking cold out there in the desert right now. Which one is it?
Well, let's put it this way. I don't think I've ever been to a rave. I'm too old for that stuff, man. I'm cracking 50 next year, dude. My raving days are well behind me.
I hear
you. It's freezing. You know, below zero in Vegas, or, well, you know, Canadian temperatures, of course, below freezing in Vegas, I got no problem. I'll wear my hat. I can look foolish.
Yeah, people don't realize how cold it can get there sometimes, man, and it's all relative, because I know you're an East Coaster, and, you know, you lived on the East Coast, you've lived in Michigan, etc., but it's all relative. If it's cold, it's cold, right?
2 years in Vegas. The second year in Vegas was when I stopped being able to go back east in the wintertime. Your blood starts to thin, you just start freezing, man. It just doesn't happen. So I got me a nice warm hat. I'm set for a Vegas winter. I don't think I can handle another another Michigan winter, not at this stage in my life.
I swear to God, man, I'm from Montreal, and in the old days, it used to be colder in the wintertime. And, like, yeah, I'm talking like 12-foot snowbanks and just, you know, minus 22 every day type of stuff, like Arctic-like conditions. But I swear to God, man, one of the coldest times I ever was in my life was when I lived in Hollywood, California. I was stuck outside, man. And I was like, man, people are like, you're from Canada, man. What are you bitching about? I'm like, man, yeah, not anymore. I'm not. Like, you know, the body adjusts. But, you know, on a more serious note, Teddy, from a football standpoint, because it's been really balmy, actually, on the East Coast for the past week or so. Like, unseasonably balmy. Crazy, man. But I see that there's a serious, serious Arctic blast that's about to hit America and Canada. And, like, for real, man, there's going to be, like, extremely cold weather conditions. I think it'll probably start to check in early next week.
Yeah, and one of the things we always talk about, as the calendar shifts from November into December, you better check your forecast every week for every game. You know, you're not making a bet at this time of the season without making sure, whether it's a look-ahead forecast, whatever you want to call it.
You have to.
You have to pay attention.
You have to.
Otherwise, because it's going to affect sides, it's going to affect totals. And what you're most concerned with, always, not cold, not precipitation.
Wind.
Winds. When the wind is blowing, that kills passing games. Doesn't matter college or pro. And obviously, that's what bettors want to be aware of. And that, most importantly, is what the markets will react to. So if you're trying to get the best of the number, you can see the weather in advance, take a position, and then decide what you're going to do with it before kickoff.
Yeah, that's why, and also that's why there's a correlation between good running teams and good run defenses being successful in the postseason as well, which is correlated to a game I want to get to in a minute. But let's start off with tonight's game. Weather won't be a factor. I guess Zimmer's out tonight, right? I mean, unless the guy's going to coach with one eye. So, like I said, Teddy, earlier, you know, if I was watching that run game and that offense every week, I'd be pulling out my eyeballs too. You know, like, same with Arians. He had a heart attack. Yeah, no kidding. Carson Palmer's his quarterback. But, you know, so weather not a factor. The game's indoors tonight. It's a battle of strengths, Teddy. The Dallas Cowboys offense, which puts up like 28 points a game, taking on that Minnesota Viking defense that only gives up like 17 points a game. One thing that I noticed about the numbers here, though, Teddy, Minnesota have actually been carved up on the ground. You know, Jordan Howard went off against them. Johnson had a nice game. Theo Riddick, like 45 yards on nine carries only. Vikings very good against the pass. They're only ranked 16th against the run. It's an interesting battle tonight. First, and I'll give you the floor here, Teddy, but and I called you a sharp off the top, but I said it seems like a lot of the hipsters are on the Vikings, and they're talking about this is the trap, this is the speed bump, the post-Thanksgiving day game. I just don't see it happening. I can't get in front of the Cowboys tonight, Teddy.
And for me, I know there's a lot of wise guy support for Minnesota. It's not my money. Let's put it that way.
Yeah.
And it has to do with those season-long stats for Minnesota's defense. We know the Vikings offense can't do anything right now. They are on pace to have the single worst rushing offense in the NFL in the last decade. You understand? I didn't go back further than that. So not only is their running game bad, it's historically bad. All right, and then you say, oh, well, look, Sam Bradford's completed 78% of his passes over the last four games. Yeah, one pass longer than 40 yards during that span. You know, they're not moving the ball up and down the field by any stretch of the imagination, and they can't. The offensive line is a sieve, and it will continue to be a sieve. It's a problem for Minnesota, and obviously losing another heartbreaker last week is another problem for Minnesota. But you look at the season-long stats for the Vikings, and they're not indicative of where Minnesota is right now defensively. They're not even close.
No.
Minnesota, the first 5 weeks of the season, that defense shut everybody down completely. Since that time, you can find room to run against them. You can find room to pass against them. They're middle of the pack statistically over the last 5 weeks. That may be what Minnesota is right now. Dallas is elite. You can make an argument the Cowboys can or should be power rated every bit as high as New England Patriots at this stage of the season. From a point spread perspective, they've been an undervalued commodity all year long. And it's not even a short week for Dallas to play the Thursday game. They played last Thursday. So normally the road team with a little bit of a disadvantage when it comes to that short week with travel, especially when you're talking about a team that relies heavily on rookies. That's not the case for the Cowboys. And Jason Garrett's track record on Thursday night, pretty darn good. Look back over the years. He's been a money winner in this role.
Yeah, the Cowboys on the road are a damn good road team. Garrett's the king of the road. He's always been good on the road. It's a short price here. They basically just need to win a game. You mentioned the Vikings' offensive line's been a sieve. It has been. And, oh, yeah, they're without their center tonight. Berger's out. You know, the most important position on a bad offensive line's out, Teddy.
Yeah, I mean, but I, to be honest, at this stage, the starters, their starters aren't
in. No, you're right. When you're averaging 2.3 yards a carry, what does it matter at this point? But here's a game within the game for a prop, Teddy. You know, like you said, Minnesota can't run the ball. Bradford, it's a lot of dink and dunk stuff, but his completion prop tonight is 23.5. It's gone over 23.5 in 7 of the last 8 games and 8 of the 10 games that he started, Teddy. People don't think of Bradford, you know, you don't think, oh, like you think of, oh, I'm going to bet an over prop of completions. It's Drew Brees. It's an Aaron Rodgers at 26.5. It's a Tom Brady. You don't automatically think of Bradford, but he's been completing a lot of passes. They're not scoring because they can't run the damn ball. They don't have a choice.
Yeah, that over makes a whole lot of sense to me, especially when you consider, again, 31 pass completions last week. Of the 37 passes that he threw, they averaged 3.5 yards beyond the line of scrimmage.
Yeah.
Nothing downfield. It's all dink and dunk. That's their running game right now, is short passes. So you have to expect this West Coast offense, quick strike attack from Minnesota, which results in A, high completion percentages, and B, a high number of passes for the Vikings because they're not taking the downfield shots. Over on that prop makes a whole lot of sense to me. Okay.
Teddy, let's jump into the Denver Broncos. If the playoffs started today, the Broncos would not be in the playoffs. There's another game. We'll get to the Miami-Baltimore game, which is a playoff preview coming up in a minute. But you know, I think there's a lot of shaking up to do. Baltimore's schedule is tough down the stretch run here. I think Pittsburgh can still win that division. I expect Pittsburgh still will win that division. But ironically enough, I like the Giants plus the 6 this week. But what's your take on the Broncos game? I see the numbers coming down here, Teddy. Some 3.5s up there right now.
Yeah, and it got bet up earlier in the week. It's getting bet down later in the week. The first money came on Denver and the under. We haven't seen any over buyback, but we have seen some buyback coming against the Broncos. And obviously, we're talking about a team whose defense ran out of gas late in the fourth quarter and in overtime last week, a team that was on the field for 75 minutes of play instead of 60 minutes. And now they have to travel east for an early start game. These tend to be negative situations when it comes to the betting marketplace mentality for the Broncos. But, I mean, anytime you're betting Jacksonville right now, you're taking a leap of faith.
Yeah.
You're saying, well, the stats are there because that's what you have with Jacksonville.
They are 5-6 against the spread. They are 5-6 against the spread. So you're right. You're basically betting red and black at the casino on roulette. You know, you bet the Jags, you stand there, the wheel spins, and you hope that it comes up Jacksonville. But you got a desperate Denver team coming in here. Bortles is fading. And Teddy, I just, you know, as a Buffalo Bill fan, I have a lot of knowledge about Nate Hackett, and he's not a good offensive coordinator. Now Nate Hackett's running the offense there. Bortles has got issues. Denver's got 35 sacks. I'm not in a hurry to lay points on the road with the Broncos, but I believe the Broncos win the football game.
Yeah, I would expect anytime you're having someone facing Jacksonville, you expect the other team to win the football game. The Jags don't win a whole lot of games. They cover some point spreads. Did it last year. They've done it on occasion this season. As you mentioned, only one game under 500 ATS. But it's a Jacksonville team that the fundamental flaws from the coaching staff to the quarterback to the defense that, you know, gets penalties and mistakes at the wrong times, they're good enough to hang with anybody. They're not good enough to beat a whole lot of teams, though. And that's been their ability to cover point spreads. And it's also been their inability to win games.
All right, Teddy. We're already getting the hook, unfortunately. Time flies by, man, when you come on. I always appreciate it. So instead of NFL, we'll get to some college in our remaining minutes here. Out of all these big championship games, anything catch your eye? Any of these underdogs or maybe a favorite that's going to roll? A lot of people are talking about Colorado plus the points. I'm not feeling it, man. I think the Huskies are a better football team. People are talking about Ohio plus the points against Western Michigan. Maybe it's a lot of points. You know, that 24.5 with Florida, as bad as their offense is, that kind of looks tempting. I do like Wisconsin, but can you throw us a bone as far as college football is concerned?
I'm with you on the Badgers. And really, when it comes to conference championship weekend, you're not looking necessarily at a team's results. For me, I'm looking at a team's talent. Okay, this is the time of year where the teams that are there because their coaching's been really good and they've won a bunch of tight games and they've faced the right schedule at the right times, you know, those teams tend to fall by the wayside this weekend. And I give all due respect, Penn State has overachieved by anyone's metrics this season, and James Franklin has cemented his hold on the job, and, you know, we have to give them credit. But the Badgers are the more talented of these two football teams, particularly on the defensive side of the ball. Penn State's played two elite defenses so far this season. They got 13 first downs against Michigan and 14 first downs against Ohio State. Yeah, they beat the Buckeyes. Well, the Buckeyes beat themselves, and a big special teams play had everything to do with that. Wisconsin doesn't beat themselves very often. It's a cheap price to lay, especially now that it looks like Hornibrook's going to play. Yeah, I'll take the Badgers minus 2.5. That makes a lot of sense to me.
I got to tell you, too, we got to get out of here, but Wisconsin's always sort of had pedestrian quarterbacks. This Hornibrook kid's got some zip on his ball, Teddy.
And he's he got does. Confidence. He can throw downfield.
Yeah, he's got confidence. You notice, man, like it's not a Wisconsin, you know, Stuve. Oh, let me lob it in here 7 yards. This kid's confident. I'm like, wow, I haven't seen a Badger quarterback like try to zing it in a hole like that in a while.
The amazing thing to me is how many Wisconsin quarterbacks are like backups in the NFL.
That have done, I know.
You know, and they're like, they couldn't play in college. That's how the heck are they playing on Sunday?
That's what I thought. I'm like, Hornibrook, hey, you're going to the NFL. All the other stiffs did. All right, we got to get out of here. Check out Teddy. He's one of the covers experts, covers.com, sportsmemo.com, and check out his daily video with Paulie Howard, Sports Bit on YouTube by SBR. Thanks, Teddy.
Cheers.
There's Teddy Covers with a Stay Warm Teddy in Vegas. All right, we hope that Kurt Schilling joins us next. Game Time Decisions on a Fantasy Sports Network continues. I am Gabriel Morenci. Thanks to Teddy Covers for joining us on the program. All right, so we're once again trying to track down Kurt Schilling. Yesterday, we played phone tag with him. He checked in with a couple of minutes left in the show. Hopefully, he checks in the next couple of minutes, because if not, we're going to move on to Paul Bovey. This is what happens. Like I said, though, like my policy has always been three strikes for all guests, not just baseball guests, but you know, three strikes, it happens. You know, I stiffed a radio show last week, all right? So, you know, and I join that show every week. But, you know, I had a cell phone problem, and there was nothing I could do about it at that exact moment that I was supposed to be on the air. So we'll see if we can figure this out in the next couple of minutes. But I wanted to get to I wanted to get to one of the games with Teddy that we didn't get to. And as I stated, if the NFL playoffs started today, the Miami Dolphin-Baltimore Raven game is actually a postseason football game. But, and I hear camera too chuckling away. Yeah, how bad is like the AFC playoff picture right now, man? Like, seriously, like it'll be, you want like low ratings? Like, how lowly rated will an AFC wildcard weekend be? Kansas City and Houston. Like, does anybody want to watch that again? Like, the Kansas City Chiefs and the Houston Texans, man. Like, you got to be kidding me. That's why when you look at the AFC, it's like, yeah, the Patriots are going to the Super Bowl, even if Gronkowski is out right now. And I guess Gronk is out for the remainder of the regular season and maybe a little bit longer. But, like, who's going to beat them? Let's say the playoffs are as it is right now. So you got Miami at Baltimore, and you've got Kansas City at Houston. Really? Like, so suddenly, like, the Raiders, even though the Raiders don't seem to be great, even though they're 9-2, the Raiders might be great. You know? Like, the Denver Broncos got to get their ass into the playoffs, but I still think that the Pittsburgh Steelers will catch the Baltimore Ravens. The Ravens are not a good football team. They have a good defense. They have a less-than-average offense, and I think their schedule is going to catch up to them. Their schedule gets much, much more difficult, yet, you know, this is a huge game. I mean, as it is right now, Miami and Baltimore is a playoff game, and they throw down this week. But we got to give credit to Adam Gase. And I'll tell you what, during the preseason, I was all over the Dolphins bandwagon, and I don't like the Dolphins. I'm a Bills fan. So it wasn't easy for me to give love to the Miami Dolphins. But I do respect Adam Gase. I think Tannehill has the tools, but he just wasn't coached and game managed properly in the past. I didn't think much of Philbin as a head coach, but I think the Dolphins had some talent. And I watched them in the preseason, the Dolphins, and they were running this no-huddle offense. And Tannehill was throwing darts, man. And I bought in. Like, I was like, I drafted Devontae Parker in a fantasy league. I wish I didn't, but I did. I drafted Devontae Parker. And then what happens? The Dolphins look good in week one. They nearly upset Seattle. And I take them in my survivor pool to beat the Cleveland Browns, and it's a freaking sweat job. Then they start playing like, you know, the Dolphins do. There's no up-tempo offense. The offense was terrible. People like Ryan Tannehill was sort of morphing into the new Jay Cutler, the new Twitter bash boy, so to speak. Tannehill blows, Tannehill blows, Tannehill blows. Well, Tannehill's not blowing so much right now. They're riding a 6-game win streak right now. And the winner of this football game actually might make the playoffs after all. I still have a hard time believing, though, that the Baltimore Ravens and the Miami Dolphins are both going to be in the playoffs. But the winner of this football game puts himself in a pretty good situation. You know, the key is, and I wonder about the Dolphins, if this is a real playoff game, me and Teddy just talked about this as far as weather is concerned. You know, you can't throw the ball in the postseason, you know, and especially this year, all right? I'm not kidding, man. They said it's going to be an extra cold winter across the board this year, like the coldest in recent memory type of stuff. So I expect cold weather to have an effect on offenses this year in the National Football League playoffs. And can the Miami Dolphins go on the road and win a football game at Baltimore when it's going to be cold as hell in Maryland? I'm not so sure. And I'm not so sure they go on the road and win this football game. I think Miami are a better football team than the Baltimore Ravens are, but Baltimore just find a way to win games, man. And Harbaugh's a hell of a coach. Flacco, fantasy numbers suck, but he's doing enough to win football games. And his defense, man, the Baltimore Ravens only give up 74.9 yards per game on the ground. And here's another number that I stumbled across as far as the Baltimore Ravens are concerned. The Ravens are 32-15 straight up at home since 2008 in the month of December. And as I stated, the weather's colder. It's tougher to throw the ball, and it's tougher to throw the ball, and oh yeah, they're hard to run on. It all adds up to a bad combination. Baltimore's one of those teams that nobody really respects, including myself, but I'm not ready to take the Miami Dolphins in this spot. We should note that Elvis Dumervil is back as well. He made a big play last week on Dalton. Makes a big difference for that defense. Push comes to shove, man. I think Baltimore's going to win this football game, actually. I really do. All right, let's take a break. We'll get to Paul Bovey, and then I'm sure Schilling will call once we start talking to Bovey, but it is what it is. It's game time decisions. We are live. It continues. Game time decisions on the Fantasy Sports Network continues. I am Gabriel Morenci. All right, so the show goes on. Let's bring in Paul Bovey, VegasInsider.com's Paul Bovey, so we can hit tonight's Thursday nighter and talk some NBA basketball, get to some props as always. Paul, it's always a pleasure, my man. How you doing?
Great, Gabe. It's a pleasure to be here.
You know, Paul, you're a warrior. You always join us no matter where you are. And I said, you know, you always join us from cool locations. New York City, Malibu, California, Las Vegas. Today it's Fort Lauderdale, Florida.
It's actually, I think I'm in Boynton Beach in a Walmart parking lot, but let's call it Fort Lauderdale. Sounds a little better.
Are you wearing a bulletproof vest?
I need one, Gabe. I shared that little story with you, but we'll take care of that when I get there.
I tell you what, though. Yeah, Walmart, Florida, it's just, you know, I'm just here. It's just all bad combinations there, Paul. But no, we appreciate you joining us. So let's jump in here, man. We got the Thursday nighter tonight. I spoke with Teddy about this game. And, you know, we were talking about how there's a lot of so-called wise guys out there in Charlotte. sharps that are making a case for the Minnesota Vikings tonight. I just don't see it with that pedestrian offense. And, you know, it's not, maybe if they're coming off a win last week on Thanksgiving, they'd be a little bit energized right now. But their season's falling apart, man. They're 6-5. They were 5-0 at one point. They're missing their starting center tonight. They can't run the football at all. And even me, I haven't bet against the Cowboys that much. I did take the Skins last week, but I haven't bet against the Pokes that much. But there's been a couple of times where I didn't bet on them, and I've regretted it because I thought, you know, this might be a speed bump. This is the speed bump. This is a trap game. This is a look ahead, etc. Dallas don't fall into the traps. They're just efficient. You know, they got that offensive line. Dak Prescott's got a great quarterback rating. He doesn't make mistakes. Elliott runs the football. I just don't see what people are buying tonight with the Vikings, Paul. What am I missing?
Well, Dallas did hit the speed bump last week. They did not get the number. Washington did get the late score, came within five, and rewarded their backers. Look, Minnesota, I think, can stay in the game. Would I bet them here? Probably look towards other things, maybe a few props. But remember, they're getting Stephon Diggs back, and that is huge because he gets the majority of the targets. He 13 catches two games ago, actually two and three games ago. Last game he played six and eight. And I think it'll open up some other avenues. And last week they didn't run the football bad. 16 carries, 82 yards, 5.1 average. They just didn't get the job done. They didn't stop Detroit when it counted.
So you look at this football game tonight. I think it's a fair number sitting at three. What do you make of the point spread? I'm surprised it's not a little bit higher, to be honest, considering the Cowboys are on such a run. And you know, they've been covering numbers as well. It's not like they're winning games and they're not covering. It's a short number. They basically just have to win a game tonight.
Well, they got to win the game. They got to win it by more than three, not just three. Three doesn't get you the money. It gets you a kiss. So I think it's hard to lay it. It's hard to take it because you basically do have to win the game with Minnesota to get paid. So it's tough. I got a team total on Dallas at 24.5, which I thought was a great number, and I went to the low side.
Yeah, oh, you did, eh? You went to the low side. Because, yeah, I'm seeing one out there right now at 23.5 right now. Listen, we know about that Vikings defense. Vikings defense is a rock, a solid one. The offense, kind of pedestrian. Like, you know, the Vikings, you know, they're only giving up 17.5 points a game. It's Dallas offense, so 28.7 points per game, putting up 407 yards a game. Last week, Kirk Cousins had some success through the air, but he had some success throwing the ball deep down the field, and he's got better weapons than Sam Bradford does. We, you know, you and I talk about props a lot. One of the props that caught my eye was Sam Bradford, over under 23.5 completions, Paul. But you know, and it seems, oh, that's high for Bradford. They don't run the ball, and he's completed more than 23.5 passes in seven of the Vikings' last eight games. And in fact, he's completed more than 23.5 passes in eight of his 10 starts this year.
You know, I'm big on these over with quarterback completions, and I had Cousins when we spoke last week on the air, and he got 41. Would I go over with Sam Bradford here? I think it will probably edge over, but there were a couple other things that I would look at. I think there's some advantages. Dallas has struggled with the tight end since their secondary got dinged up. They gave up last week, and I mentioned it, that Jordan Reed would drive him crazy over the middle. Jordan Reed hauled in 10 balls last week in two quarters, and Vernon James pulled in five. Yeah. And two back, Jesse James, his highest yardage output of the year in the Pittsburgh game, 59 yards. I think that Kyle Rudolph, especially with Diggs back in the lineup, is a good opportunity here.
Yeah, you know what? I know you don't like, you prefer the yards than the receptions. I'm more of a reception guy, especially when it comes to Rudolph. But we saw last week, you know, targeted 10 times. He had 9 receptions. I think it was only like 64 yards when it was all, maybe 68 yards, whatever it was, when it was all said and done. But I agree with you. And I'm looking at Rudolph here too, 4.5 receptions. He's had more than 4.5 receptions in the Vikings 4 of his last 6 starts as well.
I'm going to say one more thing about Minnesota. They have trouble stopping the run. Last week, Detroit, 19 carries, 94 yards, no breakaways. Longest scamper was 15. And if you go the 3 games before that, combined, Green Bay, Giants, Carolina, 69 carries for 266. Again, no breakaways. Longest one was 16 yards. So they don't stop the run. I think they're going to have to concentrate on Elliott here, and that will open up some avenues for your man, Cole Beasley, because they also have to pin down Dez Bryant. So Cole Beasley, Jason Witten, who's had an off year, I think will see a significant number of targets tonight, probably 8 or 9.
I agree with you on that. I didn't see a Beasley prop today, but Beasley's been good to me in the fantasy world this year. I agree as far as Jason Witten is concerned, plus Minnesota's got that good pass rush. They're going to be getting to Dak. He'll be looking for a quick out. Witten, 4.5 receptions. He's gone over this number in 3 of the Dallas Cowboys' last 4 games. It's interesting you brought up Elliott. I see a prop 102.5 yards for Ezekiel Elliott. And cosmetically, you look and you're like, oh, look, the Vikings only give up 74 yards a game on the ground. But it's kind of deceptive, isn't it? It was all earlier in the season. You know, the first 5 weeks of the season, I was looking at the numbers with a colleague of mine, Pat Mayo, earlier in the morning, and, you know, 48 yards and 52 yards, 64 yards. But as you just mentioned, Paul, during this bad run that they've been on, Jordan Howard went off for like a buck 49 on him. Johnson, 103. Riddick, 45 yards on just 9 carries last week with the Detroit Lions. We've seen on a weekly basis, running backs have had success. Because I was thinking 102 yards is a little high for Elliott tonight. And especially considering, even though Elliott's got the second most rushing yards in the league at 1199, he's still been held to 97 or less in 4 of Dallas's last 5 games, Paul.
Well, we spoke about Elliott last week, and it was 110. And I think I commented that when the number gets too frothy, it's just not very attractive. And instead, we went to Bell, and Bell easily eclipsed that number.
Yeah.
So I'm not a proponent of going over these big numbers in case they take that away from the game plan, take that out of the equation. I'm not saying that's going to happen here. But I think they'll make the focal point of their defense stopping Elliott, stopping Dez Bryant, and forcing them to look to the other avenues, and Cole Beasley, Jason Witten. And they basically have to keep Dak Prescott in the pocket.
So you're going to go with...
do that.
You're going to go with Kyle Rudolph over with his yard prop, and you like Witten yards or receptions as well, right?
I generally split them up, Gabe. I would agree with you on Rudolph. You pointed out he was 9 of 10 last week, targets to receptions, and there's a lot of short ones. Look, Bradford, 31 of 37 last week for 224, and there was a 41-yarder in there to McKinnon, so take that out. 30 of 36 for a buck 83. Short passes, Gabe.
Yeah, you know what, Dan? You and I have done very well with the props, although I don't want to jinx it coming in to tonight's big game. But I like these props, guys. I do. Like I said, Bradford, 23.5 completions. I mean, we're talking 7 of his last 8 football games, guys. They're averaging like 2.3 yards a freaking rush. As we brought up earlier in the program with Teddy, you know, they have the worst rushing average in the last decade in the National Football League. They can't run the football, and we've seen there's some soft spots in that Dallas secondary. Bradford, a lot of dinking and dunking. I really really like that prop. I like the Rudolph over, and I like the Witten over, and I didn't see a Beasley prop, but maybe it'll pop up before the day is done. So as far as the game, you're going to pass on the game. You don't. It doesn't sound like you like the Pokes so much tonight, but it's hard to trust the purple people eaters too.
I'm going to pass on the game, Gabe, except for that team total, which I only took because of the value factor. 23.5 to 24.5 is a huge leap, because you'd be amazed how many games end on 24. So I felt as though the value pushed me into it, and I'll live or die with it with no regrets.
All right, so let's talk some NBA basketball, because we've got a couple of big games on the board this evening. It's funny, when the ratings were struggling earlier in the year in the NFL for these Thursday nighters, and word on the street is the NFL's considering stopping the Thursday night games. But I said, oh, if you think the ratings are bad now, wait till there's actually some quality NBA games going head-to-head with the NFL on Thursdays. Tonight, though, we got the Cowboys, so the NFL will be immune from this. But nevertheless, we got the Clippers and the Cavs on the board tonight. And I got to be honest with you, Paul. I'm surprised to see the Clippers are only 4-point underdogs in this game. I thought it'd be a little bit higher. Why? Is it the respect factor for the Clippers? You know, the Clippers are on a 3-game losing streak. You know, after starting off the season 14-2, they're not playing as quite as good. The reality's catching up to them. Cavaliers got blasted the other night. I don't know. I'm just surprised the spread's not a little higher for Cleveland.
I don't know, Gabe. I agree with you. Came out 5. It's been knocked down to 4. And that seems to be a very cheap number. You're getting into the area where you could be losing by 1 or 2 and end up blowing the cover because a couple free throws at the end and it just breaks your heart. So for me, I looked at the Clippers, and I think the Clippers got what they deserved the other night against the Nets, sitting Blake Griffin out just for rest purposes when they were had a day's rest prior, figuring they had the Cavaliers coming up, and they need him to step up. And I think the weak link has been Mute. Mute, in this, he's not performed this year. He did not perform against the Cavaliers in 2 games last year. Griffin sat in those games. Griffin hasn't faced the Cavaliers in quite some time. Do I think the Clippers are going to hang around here? Absolutely. Would I take 4? No, it's not my game of choice.
Yeah, you know, and generally I don't like, I don't play the Cavs that much. I usually sometimes look for reasons to play against them, it seems, if I'm getting enough points, but I think it's a fair enough number tonight. As you mentioned, Cleveland handled them easily. Griffin didn't play, but the last 4 times they played, the Cavs have won by an average of 13.3 points. Tyronn Lue's never really been upset. He was the good guy, like the substitute teacher last year. Seems like he was pissed off for real for the first time the other night after the game against Milwaukee. I think we got a peak performance from the Cavaliers tonight, and Clippers have been on this prolonged road trip. I think it catches up to them. High-profile game in the Western Conference with the Houston Rockets, who have, the Rockets, man, have only played like 6 home games. So it's impressive that they're 11-7 straight up, 12-6 against the spread. The Warriors are killing it right now, 16-2 straight up, putting up an average of .117.6 points per game. Rockets are scoring 109 points a game. They're giving up 106. Fun matchup tonight, Paul. How do you break it down?
I'm not a big fan of the Houston Rockets, and they've exceeded expectation this year, and they've exceeded my expectations personally. 11-7. You made a great point. They've only played a handful of home games, 6 versus 12 on the road, so that really factors in favorably to that 11-7. So give them credit there, but I do see that they're regressing defensively. I saw it the other night. Jazz were a huge play for me, and they ended up covering and covering easy. I couldn't understand why the Rockets were favored against a healthy Jazz team at home, who I think is one of the best teams in the conference. So this is a tough take, Gabe. I really do hate laying big numbers on the road, and the total, geez, 231.5. That's just getting to, it's in the stratosphere at this point. I, I, I can't touch the game. Golden State's going to win the game, of course, but will they cover the big number? All I've done is gotten burnt this year when I've gone to favorites, so I'm going to stay away.
I know. It's up to 231. It was 230 and a half in the morning, but up to 231. I remember in the old days, the All-Star game used to only be like 245.
Yeah. That was a while ago, Gabe. I remember 1 year, I think it was 1990, the Denver Nuggets, and I forgot who coached them, and it was just this run-and-gun style, and the numbers were up in the 250s. It was insane. I don't know if you remember that.
Yeah. Sorry, I lost you for a second there, Paul. I miss the old run and gun, crazy days of the NBA. All right, Paul, we got to get out of here. Great insight as always, man. Thanks for breaking down a Thursday nighter with us, as well as a big couple of monster matchups. And I agree with Paul as far as the Jazz are concerned. The Jazz are a dangerous team. I gave you the Jazz the other night to beat the Rockets. But always a pleasure, Paul. Safe travels.
Thanks, Gabe.
Paul Bovey with us. And, all right, I got a ton of picks coming up next. I got some props, and I got some NBA picks that I'm now second-guessing coming up next. All right, it's time for our plays of the day. We got a big night in the National Football League and a couple of really intriguing National Basketball Association matchups. Let's start off with the Dallas Cowboys. I don't know, man. There's a lot of wise guys and a lot of sharps that seem to be selling, and I don't know if they're selling the picks literally and figuratively, but selling the fact that this is the speed bump. This is the trap for the Dallas Cowboys. You know, teams generally do struggle in post-Thanksgiving day games, but you know who else played besides the Dallas Cowboys on Thanksgiving last week? The Minnesota Vikings. Who are the better football team? We have a much, much better football team. We have a football team that's like 9-2 against the spread as well, guys. Taking on a fading football team in the Minnesota Vikings. Man, I was the chapter president, like a fan club member of Minnesota before. Not anymore. I'm jumping on a Cowboys bandwagon tonight. I'm laying the three with the Pokes. I think there'll actually be some points put up on the board. Weather's not a factor. The game's indoors. Dallas's offense scores 28.7 points per game. I don't see why Dallas doesn't score. I think Dallas's team total at 23.5 is a little low. I think they're going to get there. Minnesota's defensive numbers were basically, they're kind of fraudulent. They were built up on their success in the first 5 weeks. They're not the same team. And oh yeah, their head coach's like eyeball fell out. Detached retina. And I'd be ripping my eyeballs out too at this point in time, coach. It's like Arians having a heart attack, but that's besides the point. All right, Sam Bradford. Oh, Sam Bradford's great. Sam Bradford sucks. Sam Bradford's great. Sam Bradford sucks. People are on and off the Sam Bradford bandwagon all the time. I'm all aboard Sam Bradford. All aboard Sam Bradford. Over under 23.5 completions. Feels a little high, doesn't it, for Sam Bradford in a pedestrian passing attack of the Vikings. Wrong. Fact of the matter is the Vikings cannot run the football. They have to throw the football. You know, Bradford's gone for more than 23.5 completions in 7 of the last 8 games in 8 of his 10 starts. Let's go over the number. I think he's going to go over 248.5 yards tonight as well, because I think the Dallas Cowboys are going to be up and they're going to be scoring, and Minnesota's going to be playing catch up. I like Jason Witten over 4.5. A lot of dink and dunk for Dak Prescott this evening. Witten's got more than 4.5 in 3 of the last 4. Kyle Rudolph, 4.5 receptions. He's coming off a 10 targets last week, 9 balls caught. I think he can get to 5 tonight. Let's go long field goal indoors over 43.5 with a kick-ass kicker in Bailey, and that loser Walsh isn't in Minnesota anymore. Cavaliers only laying a 4 spot to the Clippers. We'll lay it. Always dangerous, but Houston always play Golden State tough, so we're going to take the double digits, and because we're freaking crazy, we're going to go over 230.5 points. Other night, you're on your own. May the winners be yours.